where she's from?
Apparently, she didn't really have a home. I can tell you her name is Jennifer.
Once again, welcome back to Podcast X. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. With me is
MC Trekkie.
And still yet again, before you get your Superman and Bugs Bunny review, part four of that.
We thought we'd give you something. Yeah, we thought we'd give you something good before you have to listen to that
I
stuff.
Don't know why you hate that comic and that review, but hey. Yeah, this is the concluding part of our Fuck the Bitches trilogy.
Yeah, and I'm a little disappointed because we're already at the end of the Fuck the Bitches trilogy, and I just want to say that anytime you want to do a Fuck the Bitches podcast, please give me a call. Anytime. Day or night. Just give me a call.
You know, you used to...
If you just want me to say Fuck the Bitches, if you want me to go on and on and on about how women are evil, if you want me to talk about dismembering women, hiding in the closet, if you want me to talk about dating women for 6 months and then dumping them hard without any explanation, just call me. Call me. I'm here. For you, by the way.
You sound bitter.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here we are. This is a classic. This is the story, Jennifer, originally from an issue of Creepy. It's been reprinted in this, Bernie Wrightson, Master of the Macabre, issue 2, a miniseries spotlighting the artwork of Bernie Wrightson, which, although it is very beautiful, is not why we're reviewing it. We're reviewing this because of the awesome, once again, Bruce Jones story.
Yes. And by the way, the art is great with the story. The story is great. I read this once before. You showed this to me once before years ago. I remembered it, but I couldn't wait to read it again. I could not wait to read this again.
This was actually adapted into an episode of Masters of Horror, I believe, by Dario Argento. It was okay, but you know what? It was not as powerful and perfect as this original story in comics form was. It opens with this dude. He's a hunter. He's in the woods. He hears crying. And then he sees this other dude with a hatchet who has a bitch kneeling over a stump, and he is clearly about to chop the bitch's fucking head off. And he is horrified, shouting out, "Dear God."
Right, and look at the tree even. You see the tree?
Well, actually, let me explain that. In the original Creepy issue, I think, because that looks like Uncle Creepy, and it is sort of like that tree looks like Uncle Creepy, and he was like giving the introduction like the Crypt Keeper. "Well, kiddies, here we have a little story of misogyny."
gotcha, yeah. Okay.
But they seem to have edited that out because, after all, this is not Creepy. This was something I think Pacific Comics put out, and good for them for reprinting this. And whoa.
And here he comes. He's the hunter, and he comes upon this guy with a hatchet in his hand, an axe. It's a big fucking axe. And he's about to cut off the head of this girl that's leaning over, and she's presenting her ass to us, which is nice of her.
"Hey, stop it. Drop the axe or I'll shoot. I'm warning you, drop it." Blam.
And he doesn't drop the axe, so he gets shot right through the middle. And here we are. Oh, dear Lord, I've killed a man.
By the way, this has been colorized for our amusement, so we get to see the nice red blood.
Oh, it wasn't cut in color before? Oh, good.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's like, blood. And, yeah, he's like, "I've killed..." Why didn't he listen? And the guy's trying to talk, and with his dying breath,
Look how pathetic he looks.
I know,
he's crying.
I know. He's gasping out, "Jennifer." And then he dies. And it turns out, the guy's like, "Actually, it seems he was who I heard crying," which is...
Well, that's a little weird. Why would the guy be crying? I mean, you know, he was about to kill the chick.
I think we'll find out later. Dude's like, "I better see if the girl's all right." And this is great art in that first panel.
Oh, she's hideous. No wonder he was crying.
Well, yeah, teeth. The guy's like, "God in heaven!" And he's thinking, "I've never seen anything so hideous." She is the most deformed freak girl that could, like, Bernie Wrightson really put the ugly into this panel.
Woo. This looks like Mrs. Trekkie number two before she put on her makeup.
Have I mentioned you seem bitter today?
Never mind. Let's move on.
Actually, that sort of looks like the Mrs. Trekkie you're referring to after she puts on makeup. So that's about as good as it gets anyway. But you know what? He's a good guy here.
You know what's nice? What's nice about being divorced twice? The fact that she only gets half your shit. But since the other girl got half your shit.
Yeah, she's getting half of half.
Right. She's not really losing that much. So in that respect, fuck her. See? You see, so what happens is the more you get married, the less bitches get.
Which is a good thing. I have predicted and stick to my prediction that you do get married again.
I will never get married again. Third time is not the charm.
Speaking of Mrs. Trekkie number two.
Yes.
The guy is actually thinking, deformed or not, no creature deserves this. And to further bolster the case that this is who we're talking about in real life, he's thinking, doesn't understand a word I say. Obviously retarded.
Yes.
So the dude with the hatchet was going to kill a deformed, retarded chick. And he's already fucking up because here he is thinking, I just kind of killed this dude. I guess before I take this chick into town, I better not mention anything about killing this dude and they'll find him and nobody will be able to prove it's me because nobody saw anything and, hey, the chick's a fucking retard and she can't tell anybody. Okay? Now, this is really weird here because, here's why this is a perfect parable of what bitches do to guys. Because already she has some strange hold on him. Because passively, she is playing the I am a weak and helpless bitch, take care of me card. By being a retarded, deformed chick. Because here he is in court before a judge saying that he wants to adopt the freak. And the judge actually, you want to choke, adopt her. Oh, did we mention this guy's got a wife and kids?
Yeah,
because this is. Go ahead.
And he tries to bring the deformed bitch home.
He does.
Mad kids. This is Jennifer. She's gonna live with us.
Jim.
Oh, Jim. Oh, good Lord.
Mommy, I'm scared. Yeah, I love the mommy. I'm scared. And here it is. They're eating together at the family table, and the mother's like, "Timmy, eat your supper." I can't. Not while she's sitting across from me, because, look, I'm sorry.
She's
like John Merrick deformed. It really is that bad. I'm not exaggerating.
John Merrick from Mask? No, John Merrick from...
No, that was Rocky Dennis. Merrick was from Elephant Man. The one perfect movie, yeah. And here his wife is, weeks later, saying to him what you would expect. Jim, you've got to get rid of her. I don't want to seem heartless, but she's tearing apart the family. And here, she passively has bitch control over the dude. What can I do, for God's sake? She trusts me. It would kill her to get rid of her. And, now she's, because she is retarded, she just bit the wife for no good reason.
She bit me. That little witch bit me. You little monster. You disgusting little wretch. And, of course, she looks kind of innocent. She's like, what? What did I do? I'm just leaning on a chair. What did I do? I'm just a disgusting little wretch.
And, of course, the
wife, being the shrew that she is, demands that, you know, it's either her or me, Jim. Look, if you don't get rid of that bitch, I'm taking the kids and I'm out of here. And look at the cat. Cat looks disturbed because the cat knows something's up.
Yeah, the guy's like, he's telling us, the readers, I tried to find another home for Jennifer. I really tried. But
he did.
And he's saying halfway to the institution. Yeah, he was going to, like, put her in, like, bedlam or some shit. She'd begin that awful silent pleading. The bulbous.
Silent pleading.
Look at this caption. Those bulbous protrusions that were her eyes would fill and tears would start down her distorted cheeks.
That may be the best little piece of narration I've seen.
I miss narration. I miss captions and thought balloons like this.
That awful silent pleading. Now, silent pleading, you don't really see a lot of that. You know? Jennifer, dear God, He just can't help himself. He's getting haggard, getting skinny. He can't even
because he has a heart, and because he has a heart, he is vulnerable to the evil of the bitches.
Yeah, I think the hidden message here, if you folks haven't already gotten it, is that this Jennifer creature thing.
She is womankind.
All woman. Yes. Yes.
Here's my question to you. Is Bruce Jones a misogynist?
No. He's Paul Revere on his horse, yelling and screaming, "The women are coming, the women are coming." He's warning us. Now we can either pay attention and get our gun.
The women are coming.
I mean, you know, look. It's a clarion call. It's a call to action. There's nothing misogynistic about this. Okay, so he had to hide the woman in an ugly sort of package. But in the end, isn't he really showing us what women are on the inside?
Well, yeah. He's showing us it doesn't matter what they fucking look like. It's about what they do to us as men. And speaking of Jennifer, she has killed the family cat by drowning it. And I bet you this scene disturbed you because it's drawn very realistically.
It did disturb me, yes. And there's the cat. I really like this. Jim, what is it? Madge, stay back. Don't look. And it's actually, this is great art because it's shown from the bathtub where the cat has been drowned, like, but from underneath the cat.
Oh, well, Wrightson is just...
From the water perspective.
He is one of the best artists ever, and I may be speaking as a horror fan, but...
You get the camera, the actual camera on the panel is like where the drain would be. And it's just looking up through the cat. You see the dead cat's eyes. Then you see Jim. And then you see Madge in the back. And then you see the reflection of the cat's eyes. This is just great. It's excellent.
And we've got the old EC bit of, the wife is like, oh, God, no, choke.
You know, right, right. And she's thrown up.
Okay, now he's pissed off. He's like, you little horror. You'll pay for this because now the wife has left with the kids. And it's just him and her. Because women will drive the people who really care away. It's what they do. They isolate you so they could destroy you more effectively.
And they kill your cats.
And, oh, things are getting really sick now. Oh, boy. Then one night, the situation approached insanity. The night she came to my bed.
What is it? What do you want? Where did you get that nightgown? Oh, my God!
That's one of Madge's gowns. You stole it! Get away from me!
Jennifer, no, please.
Lord,
help me.
That is one of the most horrifying panels in all of comics history. Look at that.
Look at his eyes. His eyes look like her eyes because they're just completely freaked out and bulbous. And then you see his, like, you know, his pupils are kind of looking at her, sort of. He's got this spittle is in his mouth. He's just crying out in fear.
I have to repeat, this is not only the ugliest woman, like, ever drawn in comics. And yes, I know about Lena Hyena and Wolverton and all that. And I'm standing by my statement. This is the ugliest woman that Bernie Wrightson can draw. And anybody who is familiar with Wrightson's art is now properly horrified.
What's ironic is this is going to precede the Bugs Bunny issue. And that Bugs Bunny issue is written like so cutesy-cutesy and all these cutesy fucking little Looney Tunes characters.
Look at this last panel on the page. Black and the beds in silhouette. And help me. Right. Just the word help and a jagged word balloon.
And that's it. You see no people. You just see the bed. The iron, you see the iron, which is, you know, he's trapped.
And
you see, you know,
because
like
Bruce Jones is a sick motherfucker, the very next page opens up in a freak show. He is trying to sell Jennifer to a freak show.
Sure. What else am I going to do?
That's so sick.
What's funny is, what spark of sanity was left, screamed for release, grabbed for any avenue of escape.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say,
sanity was screaming for release. That is the greatest line I have read in a long time. This is excellent. Excellent. Excellent writing.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is his sanity is screaming for release. And what's the first thing he does? He goes to a freak show.
Where better to release your sanity than a freak show?
Oh, yeah.
And he's happy. Empty! As he returns to an empty house. It worked! I'm free of her! I'm free! But that's about when he opens up, what's this, a meat locker or something? And it's the dismembered remains of the freak show owner?
It's his refrigerator.
Is that a refrigerator? Where's the freezer?
This is an old comic. Look at the cars. So this is an old-timey...
Refrigerators had freezers in the 70s. Come on.
This isn't the 70s. This is an old-timey comic. This is from, like, 1930. This is an old compressor on the top of the refrigerator. This is old.
Oh, well, okay then.
Yeah, wait, the cars are cold, everything's cold.
You got that from the refrigerator?
And the cars. Yeah, I'm into things.
Yeah, I don't care about things.
This is an old 1930s refrigerator with the compressor on the top with the spirals and all that stuff. Huh. So, yeah, it's not – yeah. So, well, yeah, this is his kitchen.
I guess that does explain the traveling freak show.
This is his kitchen, and he opens it up, and, yeah, here come the plop out, the entrails plop out, and then the guy pops out. And then you see the chick, and then you see him starting to laugh. He screams, and then he laughs. And then you see the girl. You see Jennifer there?
She's like what? She's like, what? I killed and dismembered the dude. What? I'm retarded. I'm not responsible. In other words, I'm a woman. I'm not responsible. You're the man. You're responsible for everything I do.
What are you so upset about? It's not like I killed a cat.
Yeah, she looks like, wah, here. But once again, we have the larger message. Women will commit evil, and you will be blamed. Whatever they do, it's somehow your fault.
Yes.
Wow, now he's on the run now, of course. He had to sell his house.
He had to sell his business.
Here he is going from motel to motel. And, you know, he still doesn't want to fuck her, but that's all she wants to do is fuck. Again, a reminder, she is grotesque. He's contemplating suicide, isn't strong enough to do it. He becomes alcoholic. And now we see that there's a rash of missing children, and sure enough...
Oh, wait, don't go too fast, because it was really funny that he... Okay, so he's going down, he's sliding down, and he's, Jennifer, please, don't go tonight. And he does want to kill himself, but the funny thing is, so he hits the bottle, right? But for some reason, the bottle is never empty. There's always another bottle the next day.
Yes,
I didn't want you to skip that, because that's important. She's keeping him in this state.
But it's for his own good.
Right. Somehow. Women will suck you to the very edge, but leave you there.
Yeah, because she's leaving him in a permanent state that suits her.
Correct. And she'll tell all her friends about how bad you are and what an alcoholic you are. But she'll leave you there in control until she's ready to make the move.
Hey, by the way, next page, as it turns out, no surprise. They're like living out of like a tar paper shack. And yes, she has been, like, taking kids there and killing them horribly. She is the kid killer. And finally, he's like, okay, you know what? Even I, Doofus Boy, have had enough. And, oh, look, he has found a hatchet himself now that he has. He takes her out into the woods. He has her kneeling over a stump. He's got the hatchet.
Right, and you see just her eyes. You see his face, and he's so determined,
just like
reflected
in
her eyes.
Just like the whole story. She's doing nothing, not even to resist him killing her, because she's a woman, and she doesn't have to. Guys will fuck up all on their own while under the evil spell of the bitches. He is standing over her with the hatchet, and he is thinking. Now we're privy to what the other guy must have been thinking. Jennifer, please, please! Don't make me! Please!
I tried to scream. My throat wouldn't work. I choked on my tears.
But check it out. Some dude has come across him who has a rifle, a hunter.
What a surprise.
And he's like, hey, wait!
But there was no way to explain. No time to explain. Barely the strength to utter a feeble warning as her power faded and night closed in forever.
Blam!
Jennifer.
Yeah. And the new guy has killed him. And so it will go on forever. The womankind, because she is all women, will destroy men's lives forever. This will never change. Mrs. Trekkie
will go on to find another Star Trek fan.
Yes.
You see how it works?
That was even though that story was a 10 rating?
Yes, 10.
That was one of the most depressing and truthful stories that have ever been written. Oh, hey, and now here's some more Bugs Bunny.
Oh, and by the way, before we close, I just wanted to get this in.
Go ahead.
You and I have never agreed in the history of Podcast X since the first podcast, whatever number this one is, going to be somewhere near 100, if not later. This is the first time you and I have ever agreed that a comic is a 10. Ever.
Yes, because...
This is the perfect, for what it's supposed to be doing in its genre... It is the perfect comic, perfect art, perfect writing.
It has that one quality that really transcends everything. Wisdom.
Jennifer slept in her little bed with dreams of her rabbit in her little head. Jennifer's rabbit, brown and white, left the house and went to town one night, along with the turtle and the kangaroo, and 17 monkeys from the city zoo. They went for a ride on an old streetcar. They tried to drive it, but they didn't get far. They all got tired and decided to go to see the people in the picture show. Jennifer's rabbit, white and brown, looked in the windows of the shops downtown. He found a dress for Jennifer to wear and a pretty blue ribbon for her long blonde hair. Then the rabbit and the turtle and the kangaroo bowed to each other like polite folks do. They went to a shop where the cookies are free, and they all had cookies and umami. Then my said the turtle as the clock struck three, the hour is growing very late for me. Not at all, said the rabbit, if you give me a chance, I'll lead all the monkeys in the hula dance. So they danced all night and the moon danced too. Then the rabbit and the turtle and the kangaroo jumped in the bed and closed their eyes and were fast asleep before the sun could rise. And Jennifer slept in her little bed with dreams of a rabbit in her little head.
Okay, check it out. The fourth and final part of our series of reviews on the Superman and Bugs Bunny limited series. Yeah, issue 4 now, and it opens with Daffy Duck Batman. And then meanwhile, Toy Man's terrorizing Metropolis, the Justice League are fighting him, the Looney Tunes aren't doing much of anything until this page here. Green Arrow is going to fire an arrow with Pepe Le Pew on it into, like, Toy Man's tank. And therefore gassing the henchmen out with the horrible Pepe Le Pew stench.
And you know who had that idea?
Go ahead.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Fuck. I hate to give him any credit. Notice that, like Howard the Duck, Foghorn Leghorn does have teeth. But he's a chicken. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
Because what the fuck? I'm just saying. Yeah, stuff. You know, this whole issue is like a big fight scene. Now, see here, Speedy Gonzalez says, wait a minute, before he says that, yeah, Plastic Man's like, hey, Green Lantern is going to hit the ground hard because Kyle Rayner is a loser and he was taken out by Toy Man's toys really easily. And goddamn, can't we get Hal Jordan back, please? He doesn't exactly say that, but it's what he means. And Speedy Gonzalez is like, not if the fastest mouse in all of Mexico has anything to say about it. See, he's the fastest mouse in all of Mexico.
That implies that they're faster mice.
So Speedy Gonzalez can race to take his siesta faster than all the other Mexican mice.
Right.
Okay. Is Salma Hayek, Salma Hayek, is she Mexican?
Partly. No, I think she's Spanish. I don't know if she's Mexican or not.
Because I know you like her. You honestly don't think she looks a little bit mannish with that forehead?
I was okay with her. Look, she played Frida Kahlo. She was hot. I like her.
Oh, trivia. Did you know that she actually had to, like, have the fake unibrow, like, done for that movie? Because she had a unibrow, but she had it, like, permanently lasered off.
So now she had to put one back on? That's ironic.
That is funny. Okay, more fighting. You know, as a fan of superhero comics, you would think I would have more patience and tolerance for fight scenes. But basically, the Looney Tunes are helping out in their own way. For example, Tasmanian Devil is eating one of Toy Man's giant toys.
I thought that was funny. He just takes a bite out of the foot.
Now, wait a minute. You don't like Matter Eater Lad, but you like the Tasmanian Devil, who has the same power.
Okay, that's as corny as...
There's no difference.
Correct. But it's corny.
But you like Tasmanian.
So Matter Eater... Yeah, it's corny. So Tasmanian Devil, it's okay in the context of this idiotic comic. But Matter Eater Lad, as a regular member of the Legion, no.
Well, what about Arm Fall Off Lad? Or Arm Fall
Off
Boy?
Boy.
Yeah, what about him?
That's Arm Fall Off Boy to you. Terrible.
No, dude. after his arm falls off, he uses it as a weapon.
I'll show you. I'll throw my arm at you.
Exactly. Okay, because I know you hate Shazams.
Can't we review a good comic? Please, can't we review a good comic? There are so many good comics out there.
Maybe next time. On the other hand, did I send that to you, that Gold Key comic that I was talking about? I got to send that to you still.
I think my spam filter is set to prevent Gold Key comics from getting through.
Now I forget what I was going to say anyway. But
you're talking about the Tasmanian Devil and Matter Eater Lad and Arm Fall Off Boy and all that stuff. And then you said something about a Gold Key comic.
Yeah, I distracted myself with all this nonsense with Tweety Bird here. Martian Manhunter. What the fuck is John Jones's problem? Does somebody have a lighter or a match lit or something? Why is he all acting like this? He's like, I'm on page 10.
Yeah. Well, the tank shot a fire at him.
Oh, well, I guess I'll forgive him.
Toy Man has a dragon, and he shot fire at him.
Oh, dude. Okay, I don't know if you read the DC 1 million miniseries proper.
No.
There was a scene where Vandal Savage had, like, a super tank, and he shot whatever laser out of it or whatever. John Jones got in the path of it, and, like, the laser, like, rebounded on itself and actually burned out Vandal Savage's eye. And then they show Vandal Savage in the future as an eye patch. I thought it was cool.
Okay.
Eh. You hate all alternate future anything.
Just tell a fucking good story. Just no gimmicks, no complications. Just tell a good story.
Okay, dude.
Any of the nonsense.
Dude. Solaris. Sentient evil sun. Come on.
All right, that's cool. Okay, that's cool.
All right. So, okay, the bad guys are more or less defeated, sort of, kind of. I like that Toy Man is going to be taken out by Daffy Duck Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And Toy Man is like, what would you say to coming to work for me? And of course, Daffy Duck's like, yeah, he's actually like, throw in a dental plan and you got yourself a superhero. Again, Daffy Duck is a duck. But yes, he has teeth.
Right.
That confuses me. Okay. Okay. All over the city, stuff's happening. They worked in that lion who's like, these dudes are shoveling coal into this furnace. We need more coal for the furnace. How many lumps you need? And the lion shows up. Better give me a whole lot of lumps.
Yeah, that's right. The one that hits himself over the head. Yeah.
Is this comic funny to anybody who hasn't watched a lot of the cartoons?
No. I don't think the comic is funny to anyone.
But look, Jay Michigan Frog is singing and dancing.
I do like the fact that nobody sees him but him, but that's fine.
What's great is he even calls Flashover. In the nanosecond it takes the Flash to run there. He's back.
Still shuts up.
Yeah. classic bit. Okay, we have another scene here with Daffy Duck and Toy Man, and Toy Man's going to kill him. Toy Man's like, he's gloating. What's going to stop me? Do the words Justice League of America mean anything to you?
That was good.
Yeah, because the whole JLA and all the Looney Tunes are right behind Toy Man. I think this is the Toy Man that likes to fuck children.
Oh, good. Well, that's perfect for the Looney Tunes.
I was just thinking, yeah, one of the Toy Men was... I'm not making this up. One of the Toy Men, because there have been a couple, was a pedophile. I think it might have been this dude. Wow, this comic is inappropriate for children.
Okay, now suppose... it was found out that a serial killer plays Looney Tunes cartoons on TV while he kills children. Now, here's my question. So he's caught, but then there's a copycat killer.
I'm still on the beginning of that premise.
Does the politically correct power that be? Do the powers that be start yanking Looney Tunes?
They would, yes. You know they would.
Looney Tunes make serial killers.
America.
That's what they would do.
America is a backwards country. And yes, they would. Yeah.
Because right now, after reading this,
you want
JLA and Looney Tunes makes me a serial killer.
You want to go kill people now?
I just want to go kill whoever wrote this.
Aha! Uh-huh. So, that's okay. Yeah, we are on issue 4. I almost forgot for this issue. Fuck Mark Evanier.
No, I've never said that he said anything bad about us, just
you,
for the record.
You strongly implied that he did, and I asked you point blank, did he? And you would not answer me, which means that, yeah, he did.
No, I would not answer you.
Yeah, and in the real world, yeah, it's like, do I look fat in this? And you don't tell the chick she looks fat in it. She does, and she knows that. You know, you tell me nothing. You tell me, did Mark Evanier put down podcast X? Then that's a yes. Now, oh, Bugs looks pissed here. Look at him.
He's had enough.
He has an angry face.
Fuck this.
That would make a good movie, The Looney Tunes Killer. He brings a VCR and a tape of cartoons, and when he's, like, putting the finishing touches on the skinning and dismemberment of the one-year-old female baby after he's raped her, Porky is just saying, that's all, folks. That's all, folks, on a loop. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
That's evil. Okay, we're back with Mitzelplick, and he's about to – he's so pissed off and so evil.
He's going to push the red button.
And they got me.
Elmer's with the red button?
Not the red button.
There's always a red button.
By the way, I've never seen Elmer and Porky like next to one another before.
No, and you can see why. They look the same.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, yeah, the red button was about to be pushed. Yeah. I think the red button was going to make everything permanent.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Again, I have no problem with the Looney Tunes coexisting with the DC characters, so that's good. They can push the button. By the way, here you go. Bugs, like you said, he has woken up, and now he is doing the Bugs Bunny thing. Notice that the Justice League is not saving the day. Bugs Bunny is.
Right.
Because he's, like, publicized that you're the guy responsible and not the dodo by putting, like, online, I, Mr. Mitzelplick, did it. And he's like, huh, where should I put that on the internet? And Bugs Bunny's like, well, how about cultpizixum.com? Everyone reads that. Good idea. I'll post it on cultpizixum.com. And look at his face. Look at Mitzelplick's
face. Yeah, sure. Ah! It's kind of a service expression.
Woo.
You're despicable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitzelplick vanishes. By the way, Mitzelplick only does that because that's his deal with Superman. First of all, I don't know if he should have vanished if Bugs tricked him instead of Superman. Also, why doesn't Mitzelplick ever say, fuck the deal, I'm staying, I don't care?
It's part of the fun. I guess he's that bored. But my whole thing is that how did Bugs Bunny know that that was his weakness? Hmm? Nobody told him.
Because Bugs...
Because he reads comics.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why it was good in Alan Moore's Superman story. That he had Mr. Mitzelplick be like, I'm tired of being mischievous. I think now I will be evil.
That was good. Mitzelplick was written well for a change.
He was written very well. I don't know. I liked Greg Rucka's take on Mitzelplick, actually, if you remember those stories.
Barely. What are you referring to?
He was like all angst-ridden and sad, and then he died.
Barely remember that, but yeah, it sounds good.
The dodo has he pushes the red button. Everyone's panicking, but it's okay because he wrote the dodo had reprogrammed everything to send everybody back, make everyone forget, except for, I guess, you know, the people here. And it's kind of like House of M. Okay, you're in the eye of the storm. You get to remember everything. Hey, look at Wonder Woman. She looks like she's from Little Annie Fanny here.
See?
But I don't mean that as an insult. She really does look like...
I know, but she's not drawn the way she usually is drawn. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, all the Looney Tunes are disappearing, of course, and we have cameos by the cartoons they couldn't work in. The Bulldog, the Turtle, the Kangaroo. Gossamer? Is that what that big monster is called? Yeah. Okay. Skim, skim. 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 Bugs Bunny offers, he tells Superman, hey, you guys visit us anytime. We'll hit you with pies and stuff. Superman's probably...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Superman is thinking, yeah, I'll get right on that. And we do see that the Dodo has missed one tune. The Dodo is convincing himself that it doesn't matter that he missed one. How much trouble can that character cause? And, of course, that character turns out to be J. Michigan Frog, who Perry White finds. And he's singing and dancing for Perry White, who thinks he's...
Perfect.
Who thinks he's going to make a fortune, you know, when everyone else sees what J. Michigan Frog can do.
So they roll back the clock so that none of the Bugs Bunny universe people remember. But all the Justice League people remember.
No. No, I thought it was like House of M. Like the X-Men and whoever else were there when Wanda said no more mutants. They remember. Because we do see here that the Looney Tune characters... Oh, actually, the DC characters too. Because Clark is like, nice to see Bugs and his pals back.
Back where they belong.
Mm-hmm. And here, Daffy and Bugs are talking about what just happened. So I think
Weird.
They're all unaffected.
Just the universe they came from. Okay.
And, yeah, that's why, assuming we exist in the DC universe, which we don't remember any of this. Although, since we're not, we're in the real world, you will forever remember reading these comics. And you will have this in your brain as long as you live. And unless you, like, get a lobotomy, you will never forget this story. That ends with Porky telling the readers, that's all, folks.
Can I have a lobotomy?
And
you said, unless you have a lobotomy, you will remember the story. I don't want to remember the story. I'm ashamed that I agreed to podcast with this.
I will actually give this miniseries because I will be fair, unlike you who prejudged the whole thing.
That's a setup, but go ahead.
It was mildly amusing. It was about as good as a crossover between Looney Tunes and the DCU could be. And it's always nice to see the Looney Tunes characters in another medium or at all written correctly. I'll give this a 3.
After all that, out of 10?
Yes, I'm giving it a 1 for the writing.
Okay, after all
and
that,
a, I and a 2 for the art. I could have given it a 0 for both, but...
Okay, all right. Because you said it was as good as the Looney Tunes comic could be...
No.
In this context?
As good as a Looney Tunes crossing over with DCU could be, yeah.
See, I felt bad because I had to give it such a low score, so I thought, okay. But I'm going to give it based on, I think, a Looney Tunes comic in the Marvel Universe, in the DC Universe could have been written better. I thought the jokes were cheap and dumb, and Kyle Rayner was dumb, and Bugs Bunny was asleep at the wheel, and it didn't make sense. And you know what? 3. Because I thought you were going to give it like a 5 or a 6, so I was ready with my 3.
No, I'm giving.
But then you gave
that,
it 3.
That's my honest appraisal. It was, in the end, mildly amusing.
I don't think it was mildly amusing. I like the art. And the I
look at you struggling to say anything good.
I was forced to think of how I could make it better, which is nice because it made me think.
Ooh.
I guess.
Okay. Oh, you did that thing. Ask Dr. Misogyny.
Episodes ago? Yes.
Did you see that Mark Evanier did the same thing in this series with Ask Mr. Mixelplick?
I saw that.
Are you disturbed to know you have a sense of humor not unlike Mark Evanier's?
Well, the difference is nobody cares what Mr. Mitziplik has to say.
Wasn't Mark Evanier also the guy who blogged about soup? He actually had a post that was all about soup.
Did you read it?
That's not the point.
Okay. Oh, in Mark Evanier's defense, he never wrote anything negative about us. But I had to wait to the end of the podcast. He never wrote anything negative about us. I wrote him a letter.
Okay.
Realizing full well that
podcast... No, you're lying. You did email Mark Evanier.
I just said that. I emailed him realizing full well that he would not listen to any kind of podcast acts. It's not his cup of tea, but I gave it a shot. Didn't listen or respond to me.
No, I will mention here that MC Trekkie is not known for his honesty.
I did write him. That's true.
I note that you're claiming he never wrote you back in bad-mouthed PCX.
He didn't.
Because the moment
I don't want to defame him or slander him in any way.
Okay, here is what is going to happen the moment I press stop record. Oh, he really did email me. Oh, God. Here's what he said. You got to hear this. That's what he's not going to say it on the air for some reason. So, see? All right, then. So we've established that Mark Evanier, human garbage.
No!
Gail Simone, ugly as fuck. Welcome Back, Cotter, an abomination of a TV series. Raping children, a good and fine thing to do. Superman and Bugs Bunny, mildly amusing, as I said. And on that note,
did you just talk about rape?
Are out of here. Yes, I was trying to sign us out. Yes, I did. What?
That's all.
Well, didn't you tell me off the air that Mark Evanier's a rapist?
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I seem to recall. Okay, no, you didn't, but still. Hey, look, anybody who blogs about soup.
What? Yes.
You can
sign us out now.
No, I don't want to. I'm just going to sit here and not say anything now. I'm just going to let the uncomfortable silence continue.
You know, we both have stop buttons on this device of yours.
But see, I'll do like an episode 13. I can do both parts. I can do like your part. And I'll just make you say things like, like rape is good. Yes, it is, MC Trekkie. I'm glad you approve. Now, seriously, on that note, we're out of here.